Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab your gear, put on your running shoes as we run into life with entrepreneur and world runner Karen Ware as she invites us along on her runs around the world, sharing the stories of the real people she meets along the way and the life lessons she picks up. As Karen shows us, an active can also mean finding your fit. Karen Ware, today you're going to show how we can fit into your events and how you've turned this passion into a business, putting on these themed running events all over Southern California once a month, right? Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. So when I do put the events on, I can jump on the stage and I can talk to the crowd for about 2 minutes. So we really appreciate the podcast and the opportunity to tell you so much more about things that happen behind the scenes and what it really takes to stage events and make this be, you know, a business.
How long have you been doing it as a business? You were a runner for, we've talked about this in earlier shows. You started in high school and you went on the track and everything, and then you competed internationally and all these things you've done. Somewhere along the way, you say, I can make money at this. I can not only serve my passion, but I can actually profit from this.
So right? It wasn't really that easy. Actually, I was running a road race right when they were kind of just becoming popular, and they were handing out popsicle sticks, and they messed up the time, but I knew I had won the race, and I was in my late 20s. And I go,
they handed out popsicle sticks?
Yeah, they, as you came across, you know, number one, number two, number three.
Oh, I see.
Well,
okay.
As I got more popular, it's like number one, number two. You couldn't do that. And I was actually in a grocery store. And because I was running and training and stuff, you're always kind of cutting your time and think, gosh, I got to add in these, you know, extra things. I want to be efficient. And the line next to me was moving so much faster because I was hearing this beep, beep, beep. And it was when they first introduced barcodes.
Oh.
And my line didn't have barcodes. And I'm like, whoa, that went so much faster. Then I was working
scanning
on my master's.
The items faster, so.
Yeah. And I was working on my master's and I was filling out my my information as a student on the back of the card with my name and all that stuff. And it was on the number two pencil, if you remember those tests. And
I had a number one pencil.
Yeah.
They were always number
yeah,
two.
Yeah, you had to have a number two pencil or it wouldn't score. So I followed the teacher back to where he read the you know, put the
scantrons.
The scantrons, yeah, through the machine. And I go, whoa, if we made a Scantron for races and racers, we could sign everyone up faster. And because we developed that system, and that was, gosh, this will date me. I'm in my, you know, 60s, and that was in my 20s, 40 years ago. We could start having bigger, better, and more manageable races. And I actually did timing with some of the first so-called laptops, and they were as heavy as a 70-pound
And the barcode is what, on the runner's chest or behind?
Yeah,
because
well,
it's
yes.
On their race car.
Yeah, it was on their race bib, and we'd have to pull them off and then put them on a tag and then, you know, read them. So we've come a long way. Now we have electronic strips on the bibs. So anyway, that's
kinda like
how
the cars on the toll road as it goes by. That
yes,
scans
exactly,
in
exactly.
Motion.
Same yeah. The same, you know, system, and it's not that easy because it's all about software and all that stuff. So we developed that, and I started out as a race timing company, and I have a race timing company now called ITZ About Time. I like that one letter off because it makes people remember it. Just like my name is Karen with the C instead of a K, and then it has more meaning. So I started out as a timing company, but when I went and ran a remote marathon in every continent and ran into so many needs that in the villages, and I wanted to come back to Orange County and Southern California, and I actually do races in Wyoming and have done races on
the line. You wanted to help use
yes.
this passion and these races to raise money
yes.
for people around the world.
So now I have Karen Ware Events, which is a separate thing, is I actually put on one major themed race per month in Southern California. And that's why I brought this gentleman to my
set.
I got to let him sit here.
Really, let's
yes.
get him really close to the mic.
Yes.
He's really too
and,
far
And his name is Juan Salinas. And
okay.
What I did is I thought, I need to have people that are going to help me with this energy and put on these passionate races. So I put an internship program out. And I thought, I need something better than just, you know, new college students. So I put it out for a master's degree program. And so
what?
I'm going to introduce you to Juan, and he's going to tell you how he met me and what he was doing.
Okay. Juan, welcome.
Thank you. A little bit about me. I'm a Long Beach native, so did all my schooling there, including my bachelor's and my master's.
What, like Long Beach State or something?
At Long Beach State, correct, okay. Yes. It was my first semester of my master's program in sports management. And part of our curriculum there is getting internship hours, right? And at that time...
Don't just talk about it. Do it. See
yeah.
what it's like.
Yeah. Don't just learn about it, but go and practice it out on the field. And at that time was just big life-changing moments for me because I was having my first kid.
Wow.
Trying to do that while...
Why did you want to get into sports management? Where did this dream
And by the way,
from?
He has three kids now.
I have three kids now. Yeah.
You woke up as a little boy and you said, I want to be sports management. And they went like, I don't even know what that is.
Right. No, so growing up, I love sports. My main sport is soccer, if you would call that. But I also played basketball, not football, but flag football.
Typical Southern California.
Did some tennis. And actually in high school was more of that because I went to a really small high school called California Academy of Math and Science, really long name,
wow.
Also known as CAMS. And we had maybe like 400 students in total.
And most of them are math nerds. They're not.
Right. We had a really good robotics program. We had, people went to really good schools from CAMS. And when it came to sports, all the teams – kind of picked from other sports. So I was in soccer, and then the volleyball coach came and recruited me, and then
because they need kids, so we don't have enough kids to fill up all these teams. So
exactly, and that's kind of where my love for sports came in. And as I went to do my bachelor's, I did business management just because I knew I wanted to do some sort of management. During that time as well, I was working at a sports facility called Next Level Sports Complex.
Okay.
Used to be here in Garden Grove in Orange County. 100,000 square foot facility. We had basketball courts, soccer fields. I helped run soccer programs, volleyball, basketball programs.
Like my daughter was in NJB basketball, whatever that stood
exactly.
for.
Exactly. NJB was one of our programs.
And that's the programs if you're in high school to play basketball. 100%. If you're not outside of the school programs, NJB was something else she competed in. And so we had to go to these places. I didn't even know they existed. And they got 50 basketball courts and a bunch
exactly.
of gyms and all this stuff.
Exactly.
And they make money renting those out to NJB. And then the parents pay a fee to join NJB. And some of it goes to you guys to run these, to rent these places, I guess, right?
Correct. And we're there. And, we make a lot of money off of food sales and just other programs that we run, they're parking on the weekend for tournaments.
Yeah, it's a huge business.
Yeah.
I had no idea it even existed.
So as I was going through there, some of my managers there had gone through the sports management program, and they told me, hey, if you enjoy this, this is kind of like an opportunity
There's
to go.
There's a career in this, yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool, let me check it out. So as I was finishing up my bachelor's, I was...
I love all the serendipity. Okay, cool, I'll check it out. Okay, cool, I think I'll be a race timer. Okay, just everything just sort of, one leads to another. All right.
Right, and eventually I got into the program, and so I had everything happening in my life where I had my full-time job there at that facility, which helped pay the bills, helped, put food on the table and everything. So getting all these internship hours that were required was a little bit tougher for me because I didn't want to, take time off of my job to go work for free.
That's what it is.
But you have to do it because it's part of the program. You got to get your internship hours in. So Karen comes in to, I forget what the name of the meeting was called, but
it was like a round table where you guys all interviewed, interviewed us as we interviewed you to see if the program was right. And they're like, whoa, you offer a stipend? You actually pay us at least, cover our costs.
Yeah.
But it was nice because, you have other, angels would come in. We had, an indoor soccer team came in. Just a lot of, sports, focus companies.
Yeah, events.
Came in, yeah.
So what did you think? Because I didn't hear that you were a runner anywhere in there. So what did you think when Karen says, hey, you could be an intern? I'll even make it sweeter. I'll give you a little stipend. And you're like, well, I'm looking for soccer or basketball or something here.
Exactly. So that was my first thing because I was like, oh, I want to go work in soccer because that's kind of what I was doing.
Right.
And Karen was like, yeah, when we do our races, it's a 3 a.m., 4 a.m. start, and then you're done by 12, 1 o'clock. Right. And to me,
it's on the weekend.
And it's on the weekend. And to me, that was perfect because even when I worked in the weekend, when you work in recreation, everything is like after 3 o'clock.
And so, yeah, they're not doing NJB at 5 in the morning.
Right. So I was able to get my hours in and then go to my day job and still, you know, keep my full-time job going.
So one of the things that I actually offered was I wanted to let them know that I was going to do full spectrum, not just make them do a task, but teach them from getting the permit, from you know, the A to Z of all putting on an event.
Because most interns, you're just fetching coffee or doing something meaningless.
Or directing parking.
That is key, yes. Because the whole thing for your internship is to go and get real-world experience. But if you're going and just making copies for, you know, whoever's running the internship, that's not.
And what I told them too is it didn't matter if it was running. I was going to give them a template of how to put on a great event, and it could be soccer tournaments. And we had one of our interns, I think at the same time that Juan was there, said, hey, I want to be really great at something. I want to take up this new little sport, pickleball. And back then we were like, we almost laughed at the poor guy.
Right.
And that guy is making a full living coaching. He's a national world-ranked pickleball player. And he says, you know how I know how to put on tournaments? You taught me A to Z.
So what is A to Z? Today Juan is about, and give us 5 minutes, Juan. What does A to Z look like to put on an event? Where does an event start? It starts way before the day of the event.
It starts with an idea.
Okay.
Right.
That's important.
Yeah. It starts with an idea and with a focused goal on what it is that you want done. Right. And I am now like I'm an events guy, not just with Karen, but I just do a bunch of events.
Well, tell me about your company. You started a side company too.
Yeah. I also, I mean, I run, I run,
I run, see, can't get away from it.
Yeah. Right. This company called Course, where we, go, and do pretty much any course in Southern California. We'll even travel for any run. We do Karen's runs. I do runs at Griffith Park, Mile Square Park.
What does that mean? You lay out the course?
We do everything. Yeah, from the start all the way through. You got water stations. You got putting out volunteers. You got signage. You got, like with Karen, we try to put some sort of theme, whether it's like bubbles out there or a band.
Because she puts a theme. This isn't just a run. It's the rabbit run for Easter.
That idea that you start out with first that would make a great idea to
so
make
So you design that because they have to, somebody has to figure out what is the course and are the bumps and hurdles along the way. And then there's signage and water and aid stations and other things along the way. Right?
Exactly. And we go out, we measure it, make sure everything's accurate. Then also just different things that go along, like if there's a curb, you know, then we try to go around it, or if it's too much of a narrow pathway, and let's say the run is 2,000-3,000 people, then, you know, I go tell the race director, hey, this is not going to work.
It's going to jam up
very, very bad. And very
so most of the runners out there, that's why I brought Juan into the podcast studio, and I want you to know what's behind the scenes. Most of the runners just come, marks that go. And, you know, what's happening out there, they don't know, oh, that was really fun when I went through the water station or on a longer distance. Oh, they have pretzels and M&Ms. And and so we really have to pre-think for you guys how you know, best it's going to, you know, happen. And what's happening in Southern California, too, is that we have to have shared paths. There's cyclists and there's
they won't shut it down for the day. Right?
There's other joggers. Mm-hmm. There's other, you know, and so we can make it as you know, best experiences possible for you. But you also have to be on your own good accord and your own behavior out there, you know, as you're running and just be, you know, aware.
And then are there permits?
Oh my gosh.
You can't just show up and, okay, let's go.
That needs to be like my sports management class, like a whole class.
Yeah.
I'm just getting
permits.
Because
everybody says permits are the hardest part of anything. Getting a business started, getting an event, I would assume.
Well, the hard part about events is you don't own the land or the air that you operate the opportunity. And I thought.
Operate the opportunity.
And I thought Juan said a really great thing. He said, I'm in the business of offering experiences, you know, just, you know, sports with, you know, tournaments, you know, we're giving health and hope and activity, but we have to do it on, you know, within, the realm. And so we get a lot of pushback because when you start doing permits, government is in the business of, regulating and,
restricting
and orchestrating. And
maybe orchestrating better because you got a variety of people wanting to use the same. Because these are like what, beaches or parks or
yes. And so we're finding too. Juan and I just spent. Gosh, what did I spend 3 hours at your 3 hour meeting just going over trying to get a going through the permit process for one city, because if you're in here in Orange County, if you're in Irvine, you've got Irvine City, you've got Irvine Corporation, you've got Orange County,
those are all separate and everything, and maybe it's a state park and all these things.
Yeah, and if you do something with the school, then you have the school district. So,
and what is it, when you get a permit, is it just fill out a form and pay a fee, or do you have to show them what you're going to do and show them the plan? Do you have to have insurance if somebody gets hurt?
They want to know everything.
And then the insurance is, special event insurance also has to name them specifically. So those agencies I just rattle off, just doing something in Irvine.
So when I fall down during your run, it isn't just to sue Karen. I'm going to sue the parks and the city and everybody else.
Well, you know what? Now, honestly, I just want to put it out there through the air. And what I mentioned with being on Public's Path, activity is, it shouldn't be a sueable opportunity or shouldn't be in the mindset of, I actually did an event in the Tahitian Islands and
where?
In the Tahitian Islands.
And, Tahitian.
Yeah, okay. And the Americans said they were chumming, or they were swimming in, and someone kicked a coral, and so it was bleeding underwater, and all these sharks started to come.
Yikes.
And they said, "What happens if the shark bit me? I'd have to sue you." And they laughed, and they said, the concept of suing him was like, if God wanted the shark to bite you, it would,
Yes. I went to law school a million years ago, and I was always stunned because when you go to a baseball game, for example, on the back of the ticket, there's a big disclaimer that says, we're not responsible if you get bonked in the head. The baseball hits you. Yet in the 1920s or 30s, there were a bunch of cases where people did, despite that. They said, well, I didn't see the disclaimer. I didn't understand the disclaimer. The disclaimer is too small. And basically, you still can sue them, even though they say you can't. You're assuming a certain risk by going into this activity. But we live in a litigious society, and there's always somebody who will find a reason.
So,
it's not their fault.
Why,
it's your fault.
That's why we do that intense permit process, and we do make sure that we have liability and general insurance and all that stuff. Yeah. So in answer to that,
all right, so permits, insurance, planning. How about logistics? Because you got thousands of people all show up, it's like herding cats.
That's why I'm so proud of
who
Juan has
become.
Where do I go? What do I get? What am I doing? I'm late. Where do I start? And,
Just parking by itself is just a whole operation, right?
Yeah.
Making sure you have the right signage, making sure you have the right people. And then once people, especially people that are running late, and like I said, they haven't gotten their bib.
Back to running again. They're running late.
Right. So, instead of them going to like find someone to help them, just very important that we have the appropriate signage up so they can just look up, boom, registration. That's where I'm going to go get my bib.
It should be, maybe this is the wrong word to use, but idiot proof.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to think about it. You walk up and it's obvious where you go. It's obvious where you start. It's obvious what happens next. If they're wandering, you've lost them, and now the whole thing is delayed or
And that's why a lot of people say, why would you even want to do this? Because the stress on that's why I wanted to do this podcast, to let you know behind the scenes. It is a load. It is a big responsibility that we're taking on to offer and allow this to happen for the open public. And a lot of people, would say, why risk it? We're willing to risk it because we have such a passion to make these experiences for you.
Yep. And part of that experience, too, like getting into the parking lot, is part of the experience. Mm. So, like, our job is to make
sure, from the moment you arrive,
that it's just a comfortable experience for them to go in.
If they hate the parking, or it was hard to get registered, or it was unclear where to go, they ain't coming back.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to slam.
The hard part, too, is that you can, especially in social media, you can get slammed for one little thing. So, please just know it's one voice, not 1,000, over the whole thing. But sometimes we don't get to choose. Like, at state parks, it's the state park system that regulates the gate, and it's the person that they hired that day that might be way too slow and have their head down and being too tedious to get people through. We can curb as much as possible, but there is always the element, and every race has always something, a generator that goes, I don't know, Juan can just tell you. So Juan's an expert at
Give me
resolving.
A bad story. Give me some stories at last minute. Things blow up, go bad, fall apart.
So this past December, we did a run actually in Griffith Park. I've done a race.
It
there.
Wasn't ours, by the
it
way.
Was it wasn't Kieran. It was not ours. We're contracted out to do it. Yes, and with course. And you know, I've done this run many, many times, or this route many, many times.
Yeah.
And my crew goes in. We get there at 5 a.m. We set up, get ready for the 8 o'clock start. All of our signage, water station, everything is out there. And around like 7:45, we see these like trucks come in. That they're like tree trimmers, they cut, and we're like, where are they going, right? But they go past us, and I'm like, all right, cool, maybe they're going somewhere else, because Griffith Park is huge. They're probably going somewhere else. So by 7:45, we're at the start. We're giving instructions. We're getting my lead cyclist ready to lead the whole group through. All right, 5 minutes into the run, I get just a call from my lead cyclist. He's like, hey, the tree trimmers are blocking our pathway. We're not able to go through, and it's literally one pathway.
Because nobody clued in the tree trimmer, something's happening today.
And yeah, I'm not sure. That wasn't necessarily like us, because we had the permit, we had everything that we were going to be there from.
But the park
certain
didn't
time.
Tell them to stay away.
Yeah, and it was we ended up having to open up a gate because the path goes next to a golf course, and the runners had to go through the golf course.
Through the mud.
Through the mud. Through like a lot of like, what do you call it? Mulch?
Yeah. The chopped up grass.
Yeah. Through a pathway and back up. Now, the other problem was there were golfers that were starting to golf as well. They started like to get a little bit mad. Like just because at first, like the first group that went, they were okay with it. And, you know, stragglers start coming in. And then my biggest issue was when my wheelchairs. We're going to come in.
Can't go through the mulch.
Yeah. So I had to go talk to all the tree trimmers and just keep telling them, hey, like, I need you guys to make some space. And then he's like, I can make the space. He's like, but you guys still can't go through here because if a tree falls on someone,
then
like a branch,
sued.
Then we get sued. Right. So I just kept conversating with them. They understood, you know, that we had the permit and everything. And it's funny because he has like a little whistle. So everyone can hear to stop in case there's an emergency. He blew the whistle for 5 minutes when all my wheelchairs were coming in. They stopped. They even helped us escort them through.
How cool.
Yep. And then we went through and finished up.
But I was a entertainment publicist for years. We put on these big charity events for our celebrities, the Johnny Mathis golf tournaments and things like that.
Yeah.
I've been there. It's always expect the unexpected. You can't think of everything, so you got to have a constant contingency plan, and you got to be constantly ready to pivot and take another path.
Exactly. And we appreciate this conversation to throw it out there to the public so that they also can have a little bit of empathy and grace when things go
right. Doesn't work right.
We've had weather last year, rained almost every weekend in Southern California, and then look at, we had a drought and we had all the, you know, conditions with the fires and stuff, and then we had, you know, smoke in the air. So there's so many things that come up that our passion is, we're going to keep you running anyway. COVID, we kept you running on.
And the last thing is, isn't just the mechanics of making it work, it's making it fun and an experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, I will tell you, at the end of the day, some of the runners really appreciate it, going through the rough terrain, getting back up.
We had a race last year, the Rabbit Run, where it just deluged, downpoured, and we were in the halls of all around the whole entire. We made like a gerbil cage in the halls of the. Junior high, just to, you know, make the event happen. And
under the overhang, so they
people talk about that forever. Things that you have to survive.
So if you do it right, it can, a negative can turn into a positive.
And you know what? It gives us confidence that we can handle things when they get tough.
So yeah. Karen, well, I'll end with this, because you see this whole running into life as one big metaphor for how to live life. It isn't just how to run an event. It's how to keep going when obstacles pop up in your way, right?
Exactly. And the reason I brought in Juan, and I'm so appreciative of him and watching him as a young man. He's the first in his generation, or first in his family, to have a master's degree and take it and, quote, run with it. Watching him develop a family and just be a father, a coach to his kids, it's amazing. And then a great manager. Behind the scenes, my staff really values him and his what he does. So when you see everybody out there on the course, know that his company is, and he made his company with a one-off. I'm Karen with the C. He's course with a K.
Karen with a K, just like a kilometer.
Yeah. So if you have a race out there and you need a course, we've got the crew.
So next time you're running at an event or you're at a walk or you're at anything where there's a big group of people doing something outdoors, an event, there is a whole group of people, kind of like Disneyland, but they're picking up stuff. You don't even see what's happening.
Exactly.
Making this as seamless, as safe, as fun, as cool, as memorable as they can make it, and give them a little tip of the hat once in a while here, because too often we don't even pay attention to what happens behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. All right. How do they get both of your companies if they want to hire your timing company? Let's start with that first. If they want to use you at time.
Okay. Everything's a one-off letter. It's itzabouttime.com. Visit the website and just hit contact us.
And they
us.
Can hire you, and you can actually use this software to time
yes,
the
and
race.
Yes, and we set up the whole finish line, scaffolding, everything for a race. We do a lot of fundraisers.
And then somebody,
corporate challenges, which is a thing that most people don't think about. If you have a company and you want to have us slap this in your parking lot.
There you go.
There we are.
And then if they want to come to your events, Karen Ware events, where do they go find those?
Do I have I don't have it on this shirt because I usually wear it on the sleeve, but C-A-R-E-N. W-A-R-E, and the word events.
Once a month, you're doing a themed event. So it's not just a run where everybody's trying to push themselves, you know, hardcore runners. You got
it's
old people, young people, kids, everything, because they're running for the bunny or run or whatever, rabbit run.
We have the reputation out there, you guys. You're not going to just get a race or a walk or you're going to get an experience. I haven't had anyone ever say.
Big medals, lots of awards, lots of cool themed stuff there, lots of swag that goes with it.
All yes. Right.
And Juan, if they want to find out about you and your company, give us the name again. It's one letter off again.
Yeah, it's Course, K-O-U-R-S-E.
And you lay out the courses for these things.
I lay out the courses, but I can do it all. Operations wise,
I think what happened. Just listen to a couple stories.
A to Z. Like I taught them A to Z, guys, and I taught them well.
How many on the crew? How many people do this kind of stuff?
We got one thing.
Oh,
to plug.
That's right. Plug.
Whoa! We got something to plug, you guys.
There's an event coming up that has to do with Cinco de Mayo. Maybe
you know
here?
What? This is one that. Let's grab this. This is Cinco de Mayo is going to be on the Sunday before. As this gets to my face.
I don't talk know about how to adjusting.
Wear, I don't know how to wear a sombrero, but it's going to be on the Sunday, May 4th, and we do it to celebrate the whole Hispanic, Mexican culture and background, and everybody is from somewhere, and that's really cool. Okay.
Yep. My family's from Guadalajara. We got people from Oaxaca, Guerrero, Durango working with us.
And I'll put in a little plug. My daughter is going to be coming out to take some pictures and maybe selling pictures of runners who want to maybe buy a picture on the spot. We're going to try that as a little add-on. And she's from, I adopted her from Mexico, and she's from Michoacán.
Michoacán. I love it. Yes.
Yeah. You know. Cool. Yeah. Make sure you're there for celebrating with us.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. It is cool to see what's happening behind the scenes in a world that we really don't understand or appreciate. Thank you for coming in and sharing this with us today here. All right. Well, there's another reason to tune in each and every time as this journey continues. It's all about finding your fit and adjusting and adapting along the way as we run into life with our host, World Runner Karen Ware, and her crew.